Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks with your handicapped host, James Cox. And I have another interview to give. And it's so great because I heard about these guys through Shauna the other day. And this band is so great. I got to tell you about them. Alex Martin, Martel, and Antoine
Lamoth.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. So I can't.
It's okay. It's a French name. It's hard to
Yes. Pronounce. Yeah, and I'm sure everybody else gets wrong too, right?
Yeah. I've got many different ways of saying it in English, but it's fine.
Yeah, Lamoth. Okay, I won't forget because that's such a cool.
Like a moth, you know, like a moth.
A moth. Yeah. That's awesome. Deadly Apples is the name of your band. So welcome, Alex and Antoine. How are y'all guys doing?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yes. Thank you. So I've like I said before, we got on. Charlotte told me about your name, and I just had to get y'all on because I do like industrial metal, heavy metal, you know, and all of those sorts like that, you know. But I find y'all to be one of a kind because it seems to me like have more fun doing clubs and stuff like that than bigger stages. Would I be correct with that?
I speaking for myself, I think whatever type of venue it is, I just try to do the best performance as possible, and it usually ends up great. Yeah. But if I had to choose, and I'm sure Antoine will say the same, like doing arena shows is fucking awesome. Yeah. Just the layout, how massive it is, people like on the side and the massive floor with people, you know, packed up in the front. That's definitely my favorite if I have to pick, but I appreciate all types of settings for sure.
The
same for me. Arenas are the best by far, but that being said, a jam-packed club can also be very nice, very cool. Right. The energy is different, and festivals, they're very nice because they're massive. It's impressive, the big stage and stuff, but sometimes you feel isolated. I remember playing the Hell in Heaven in Mexico. There was 80,000 people. We were opening for Ozzy Osbourne's, like tons of people, like literally a sea of people. And I felt isolated. You know, if I closed my eyes, it felt like I was practicing in my basement because I was far. The stage was so huge. People are so far away from the stage. It feels impersonal. It feels cold a little bit, but I wouldn't say no because we love everything, all kinds of setup, but definitely arenas.
Yeah, because I watched your live event in Texas. I think it was last year. Y'all were so involved in the fans, you know, because I know Alex got down on the stage and got in the camera's face a few times, and I loved it. You know, I love the energy that y'all bring to smaller clubs. That's why I wanted to see if smaller venues was more personal, because it's personal or your favorite. You know, because you get to be involved with the fans too, and I think the fans are the biggest part of music. You know.
Yeah, and. You know, I feel like in a sense it's almost more intimidating playing smaller rooms, because you know you can literally see every person's face, you know, looking at you. Whereas if you're doing like a bigger show, like if we're opening for a bigger act in an arena or playing a festival, and it's just like an endless massive crowd. Even though I guess technically it should be more nerve-wracking, for some reason it feels less I don't know, less intimidating in a sense.
Right.
It, it's it's hard to explain.
Yeah, the crowd becomes one entity. It's like one big mass. It's not, you don't necessarily connect with everyone and you're not in it. So it's a bit different. Yeah.
Cool. For my audience who never heard of Deadly Apples, what's something that you can tell them, like, about your band, to help them understand that if they want a good band to listen to, what are y'all about?
Well, I would definitely say that the music is dark. There's definitely heavy songs, some songs that are softer, I guess, more accessible. That it's all connected, I guess, by a specific vibe. And yeah, I guess that's a very broad way to explain it. And
we're
you
just
know,
a typical band where we have a different approach towards everything, you know, including the songs, including the shows, including the everything. So, like you were saying, we can have a very like on the new album, there's some very, very slow and ambient songs and practically love songs, and then you have another song that's terribly heavy and aggressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're pretty atypical in that way. We can go wherever we want. We don't fit anywhere, but we fit everywhere if we want. It's kind of,
That makes sense, because a lot of people turn music for different emotions, you know, and I find that dark times in people's lives go towards darker music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not sure the way that works, but I mean, it's beautiful that people can relate to your music, even though that it's dark or happy, with like two different, totally different songs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. You know, speaking of industrial metal, I read that you were on tour with Rammstein. Is that right?
We played with several amazing bands, and some bands that, you know, we grew up listening to, you know, like Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, Korn, Deftones, Rammstein. We got to play with them in Canada. So yeah, we're very, very fortunate in that regard.
So I've always wanted to see Rammstein and never did, you know. Like I said, nobody comes to especially to South Carolina. But explain to me, because I've always wanted to know personally. Their whole setup, because you it's got to be like 180 foot more, I don't know what it is, billboard behind them that they play, you know. I mean, it's just gotta be like fantastically awesome to be there, you know.
Yeah, they I mean, their production is definitely massive, and it's gotten more massive since then. We actually, the last time we saw them was when we were both in LA recording the new album, and it just happened that they were playing LA at that time, and it was just insane, like how huge it was, like, you know, we've both been fans of that band since the beginning. I think Antoine even met them like the
I met
first
them.
time they came to Montreal or something.
And I met them in mid-90s. I was super young. I met them. I gave them like a CD with my music on it. And I remember they were playing a club in my city, and the club was half empty, literally. You know, they didn't get a lot of attention back then. They had a cool show, but I went to the bus after, and I was like, "Hey, this is my music. Oh, nice. Thank you very much." And we were two or three. Yeah. So it was
That's cool.
but they always went for the show, you know, for the experiment. For it's like a happening. The Rammstein show is like a happening. They invest in that way, which is pretty spectacular what they accomplished.
I can't imagine the rush you feel like when you open for like the band, you know, and like it's the Korn, Rammstein, Deftones, Rob Zombie, you know, all of me as men's, and I want to think that you were, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. So we're gonna move on because I don't know.
It's like what I can say about that is that it always feels like full circle kind of moments, you know, like
Exactly.
if you had told me when I was a kid listening to some of these bands that eventually, you know, would get to tour with them or collaborate with them in one way or another, like you know, it really means a lot for sure.
Exactly. Yes, that's what I was gonna say, you know, because I when I was 6 or 7, you know, or something, I never thought I would be interviewing great musicians like y'all, you know, because I've had Pink Floyd, a person perfectly. I never knew that I was gonna do that back when I was 45, and here I am today, you know. So yeah, full circle comes to fruition, you know. So a lot of member a lot of musicians love one genre but make music in another. Did you always grow up loving, like, was industrial metal your number one favorite genre of all time? And if not, why did you play in a different genre than the one you loved?
Well, for me, I grew up listening to a lot of different music. I mean, a lot. I'm very open to everything, but what was coming out of me as a songwriter for a band, let's say, was always that kind of music. I can write film music. I can write a lot of stuff. I love writing film music. It's completely different than Deadly Hallows. But when I sit down, since my early 20s, whatever I was writing, whatever was coming out of me was the same thing as we both like. Was I hate labels. I don't like to say that we're an industrial band, but I guess people, I don't know, it's just the tag that is following us around, but it's something that comes out of me naturally when I write rock music.
Alex.
I mean, I've definitely been listening to that kind of music since I was a kid. I kind of started more, you know, with the whole Korn era, basically. When I was a kid, so like, you know, Korn, Limp Bizkit, Deftones, and then I guess I discovered the darker bands like
Like synthetic you.
Rob Zombie, Manson, Nine Inch Nails, and yeah, but I guess as I got older, I diversified the type of music that I listen to, and you know, now I like a lot of different stuff. But yeah, it feels like even when we've tried, I guess, in the past to move away from that style of music, kind of feels more natural when we get back to it in a way. So, yeah. Hopefully that answers it.
My question perfectly. So I'm going to agree with y'all on the subject of sub genres. I think they're very misguiding. Why can't metal just be metal music, rock be rock music, country be country? Why do we have to be all these sub genres? Because there's like I've never heard of like pig metal. I never heard that before. I guess it's people who squeal like pigs, or so. I don't understand the whole thing. But since we're talking about industrial metal, I got to bring that up because my next question revolves around that, right? So, do you all think industrial metal? Do you think that scene today still speaks for rebellion and like a subversion of what it used to be?
I guess it probably depends on the band and what you would consider in that genre. I definitely feel like, generally speaking, there's been a resurgence of that genre, and in a sense, a lot of music from the 90s. One example that comes to mind is Ghostmane, that on his last two albums, I guess, he essentially went way more industrial metal than what he was doing previously. And there's definitely more examples. But I kind of feel like a lot of younger kids these days are discovering how amazing the music was from that era. And I guess what we're hopefully achieving is keeping that greatness alive, but by doing it in a modern way that feels relevant and that's unique to us. And I'm not sure if we're necessarily part of that genre, or if we necessarily fit with the other current bands of that genre, but that's my overall feeling on it.
How about you, Antoine?
Well, like I said, for me, I don't really like labels. I know that people sees us this way because we've been touring with those kind of bands and we've been having some songs that are a bit industrial and stuff like that. But I don't know if you saw our latest singles, the music video from Sacrifice. I mean, Sacrifice has nothing industrial in it. There's literally no industrial music in that song. So I tend to want to maybe still have elements of that genre, but not be mainly labeled as a I keep forgetting the
It's all right.
name.
Industrial metal.
I don't even
Yes.
I hate that label so much that I forget the name. So but anyway, like I said, there's a lot of songs that have that vibe in it.
It's like, again, I said, why can't metal just be metal instead of having all these sub-genres that I will never understand for the life of me,
For me,
so.
it's hard to describe it, what we are. And people, what kind of music do you do? I don't know. Listen to it and you tell me. I don't know,
I just do music. What do you get from listening? Because everybody hears, they're hearing the same song, but they get a different vibe from that song all around the world, so I completely understand what you're saying, and that's true, what do you think we are? That's a perfect question for them, So yeah, that's awesome. But like we said before, you toured with some of the most intense bands out there. So what's the most strangest or most surreal lesson that you learned from the guys on tour, you know? What's a strange lesson you all learned from touring with a lot of these bands? Or any kind of lesson,
strange,
you know,
lesson? Good or bad. Kind of lesson.
I don't think we learned anything.
Right, you all just play music. Yeah.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs, kids. Yeah. Yes.
Don't drink.
That is a good one.
Eat healthy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we saw a lot of great things, and we get inspired by what we see, but it's not necessarily a lesson. It's just inspiration, you know?
Yes. Right. Speaking of eating healthy, Alex, I gotta ask you, cause you are the lead vocalist here. What items do you go through eating day to day that keeps your voice like clear and like, you know, powerful, like we hear on the albums?
I mean, I honestly don't take care of my voice really, but
okay.
I guess in life in general, like I, and especially before shows or tours, like I try to stay in good shape and exercise every day and try to somewhat eat healthy and avoid junk food, because our shows are really intense, and to me, when I'm on stage, it's like I'm going to war, and it's basically like a workout, and I have to sing at the same time. So I definitely try to get ready ahead of time and be in as good shape as possible.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. I don't drink. That probably helps to be
a lot.
Healthy
yeah.
overall.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Antoine, I know you're the drummer, but I know drummers have to take care of their own bodies, you know.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of a regiment things that you do before or after show or even on break, you know?
Well, now I had some there were times where I had to take medication, and I would, you know, gain a lot of weight and stuff like that. It was really hard on my body. But for the past 2-3 years, I'm really in good shape. I take care of my shape, of my health, inner health, mental health, everything. I'm living this kind of holistic life now. So
right.
This is very important for the for you know the show in itself, because the better shape I'm in, the better show I will give.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, no. Yeah. So I you know, eating healthy and doing a lot of exercise, a lot of cardio, a lot of sports, a lot of hiking. Yeah. And before the show, doing some little exercises and stuff like that.
Cool. This is a mental health music podcast, and I want to ask y'all about how y'all take care of your mental health, you know, because I know for a fact road tours can be stressful on you. There's many temptations, I guess, you get on the road. So let's start with Alex first, you know. How do y'all keep your mental health in check, you know? Because like I said, there's many, many problems that might occur on the road, and I know that's very stressful for anybody, you know.
I guess we don't.
we just
get stressed out, and
oh no.
I guess with the different projects that I've done in my life, I'm kind of used to being under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
So I guess what I try to do now is just rest as much as I can. Like if there's a day off or if we arrive ahead of time, like sometimes our crew guys will want to party and go out, and I just try to keep as much energy as I can for once I get on stage and I destroy everything,
Yes.
so trying to find I guess a better balance in that regard, as opposed to I guess when I was first starting out, I didn't really worry about any of that stuff, so
Antoine.
Well, for me, it was a bit hard. The traveling part is hard because I hate flying. I hate airplanes. So it's causing me a lot of anxiety. I mean, the best moment for me is on the stage, but everything that surrounds that is tough for me. But the reward is, when you go on stage and you have all those people, loving your songs and rocking out with you, it kinds of erase everything else. After the show, you're back on the bus or, going back to the hotel, and then you have to catch a plane. And this is not the fun part for me. It comes with the job, I guess.
Because I watch a lot of documentaries with bands, and being on the road is lonely. It's I mean you're going place to place and never getting down and seeing cities and towns like we think you are, because I remember watching like a Slayer documentary that he's that they've been asking, well, how do you like our city, and he's like, you see the four walls, this is it, this is your city that I see, so it does get lonely, a lot of times, so yeah. So we're gonna do some fun questions now. So imagine Dilly Apples was to create a soundtrack for a movie, and so what would the movie be? What would the plot of the movie be?
Probably a horror film.
Horror film. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Antoine actually does music for film.
Really?
Yeah,
Okay.
that's one of my
Nice.
passion, and I'm pretty good at writing dramatic stuff, scary stuff. So yeah, it would probably be a horror movie, not a cheesy one though.
Right, yeah, a good
Yeah,
one,
there's a
right.
lot
Yeah.
of cheesy out there.
So, do they give you some kind of do they give you some kind of like a direction on what to do for the movie, or did they show you just the scene that the movie, that they wanted to put in the music with the,
It depends. They gave me a sense of what they want, or sometimes just they sent me a little clip of a song that they like, and I have to do come up with something on my own, mostly it's like that, or sometimes there will be temp track. A temp track is like a temporary track, so I have to replace a temp track with my own ideas and style. But yeah, it's mainly talking with the director and trying to see what he wants, and then I go from there. And I'm pretty fast in elaborating ideas and sending mock-ups and stuff like that. So
Nice. All right. Awesome. So we do have three more questions, but I do want to thank y'all for coming on the show today. Okay, so let's say the Deadly Apple was never formed. Okay, what kind of career would each of you be in, do you think, right now, if Deadly Apples, wasn't formed at all?
well, for me, I would be probably still doing the same. I would be a director because I was a director before. I directed the last music videos we did. I was doing that before for big artists, and I was writing music as well. So I would.
Something with music then. Yeah.
I would still be writing film music, sitting in my studio experimenting. That's what I love doing.
Yeah, nice. Alex.
I guess same as I'm doing now, you know, or as I've done in the past. Like, I've done a lot of projects. I'm kind of a workaholic, so I pretty much just work on different things, you know, 7 days a week. You know, I was a festival promoter for many years. Yeah, you know, I guess I'd still be doing, I'll always, I guess, be doing projects that have to do with music or events or that sort of thing, for sure.
Yeah. I'm just like most people. I can't stay still, man. I got to do something, you know. I've always got to, ever since I was little, I always got to do something, you know, because I never ever want to be bored ever again, you know. So, yeah, so that's awesome that y'all want to stick to music, even though, you know, yeah, that's good. Okay, so we got two more questions. Okay, so let's go way back to Alex and Antoine's high school years, okay? We're looking around your rooms. Are we seeing any posters, musical posters? And if so, what posters are on y'all's wall?
Well, for me, I don't think, to be very, very honest, I only had movie posters on my wall.
Perfect.
Because
yeah.
I'm a big horror fan. And I only had movie posters. I didn't have any music posters at all.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint.
Right, no, it's okay. It's all good, you know. Yeah. Alex.
I definitely had a lot of Korn posters. Like I used to have a cottage that my dad owned, like a land with like some small, very old cottages, and one of them was for me, and it was just like plastered and mostly Korn posters, but also, you know, a lot of the bands that I mentioned earlier, like Limp Bizkit and Rob Zombie, Nine Inch Nails, and so yeah, that's probably more that I can't remember.
Right. Yeah, you got so many you can't do, right? Which is great, you know, because I had a few. I didn't really have a lot, you know, because my dad is a retired colonel. So we moved from state to state every 4 or 5 years. So it was hard for me to put anything on the walls, you know. But yeah, so that's great. One more question and then we'll let you go. Is there an artist, an album, or a song that either one of you can listen to right now, but you can't tell anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? It's unexplainable, you know. It's so, because it means so much to you, you can't really express the way it makes you feel. Is there one artist, album, or song?
Well, there's one song for me. What's the question exactly? If that song is what?
Okay, so is there one artist, album, or song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or Alex how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? It's like so emotional for you, you just can't explain how it makes you feel when you hear that one song, artist, or album.
There's a song called Scarecrow on the Psalm 69 album from Ministry. For strange reasons, like, I keep coming back to this song over and over and over and over. Yeah. I love this song, the way it makes me feel. It brings out creativity. It brings out, you know, I don't know. It touches me on a deeper level, you know. I know I tend to stay away from
Industrial.
But that album,
And
especially
then
that song, since it came out, it stayed with me like on a deeper level. I really love that song. That song.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Alex.
Yeah, it's a great song, and I love Ministry as well. I guess the album that comes to mind for me is Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral. Like that's
Did I lose y'all? Hold on. Hello.
stands, it stood the test of time, basically. And I just really enjoy it. And I'm sure I could name tons more albums and songs. So there's like too many to name just one, but I guess I'll go with that one.
Nice. Awesome. Okay, so you all have a new album coming out December 5th of this year, right?
To be confirmed.
Oh, okay, because I'm looking at the album. It's Distress. Okay, yeah, cool. So we do honestly thank you for coming on, and I encourage everybody to visit Daily Apples on the on the on I think it's dailyapples.com, right? Correct. And they're on Facebook, Instagram, all the fun stuff, right? Yeah. And you can go to Apple Music or anywhere you get music and download all of their stuff. Make sure that you pre-save Distress, which comes out December something 2025. We're not sure yet, you know. So
If I can specify, basically we recorded this full album, and it was important to us to, have a full album that works together, that has a cohesion and tells an actual story for people out there who still enjoy full albums instead of just individual songs. But we're essentially slowly releasing songs from the album, because that's essentially the way that most people consume music now, and people have such short attention spans that if we release the full album at once, then once people hear it and it gets released, then it's like it's released and it's done. But if we release it gradually, that's essentially what most artists are doing these days. So at least then we can give more attention to each individual song or each individual single. And we're doing music videos for several songs. We just released the second one for Sacrifice. We had released one for Volatile. They were both directed by Antoine, and the response has been great for them. And there's more in the works. So we're basically letting the release plan evolve. So that's why I'm not sure of the final date of the full album. But yeah.
But that's a to be announced kind of date, right? That's a placeholder. One more question before you go. You mentioned that a lot of people now have short spans. That's why a lot of artists are doing singles instead of releasing albums fully, you know. And you just said you release a single for y'all give that single attention and time to come to fruition. Do y'all prefer singles over out like do y'all prefer releasing singles better or more than releasing just an album, or is it just like just the way it is now?
You mean as listeners or as a band?
As a band, you know, because listeners, for me, I'd rather have the band release the whole album right now instead of singles, you know, because that's teasing me, you know. I don't like to be teased very much with music, you know. But as a band, I would imagine that releasing singles would be better first, because just because you said you'll have more time to do videos and do more promotion for that one song, correct?
Well, me personally,
Yeah.
it's something that I don't really like doing, but I
Okay.
understand it's the way of doing it now.
Right.
But it's not something that I like. I'm like you. I want the whole thing right now. I don't want to
Yes.
have like a little piece here, couple months after another piece, couple months after this. I hate, but
Right.
fortunately, the way it is.
That's the way it is now.
I don't know. It's horrible. You know, I don't like to be teased, like I said, you know, because yeah. So I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why people have such short attention spans now. You know, back in the 90s, we didn't even, you know, have TikTok or whatever. Sorry, I guess TikTok and everything ruined it for all of us that grew up in the 90s and, you know, early 2000s. So yeah.
Well, that's why it was important to us that you know, yes, we're releasing the songs individually, gradually, but it was important to us that, you know, once the full album is available, that, you know, as I was saying earlier, that it really tells a story and it all works together as one big piece of art, essentially, so that, you know, people like yourself who are still into full albums, then, you know, you get to enjoy it that way. And I guess most of the population today who are only consuming individual songs and adding individual songs to their personal playlists or whatever, then that's fine too. And, you know, they can enjoy some of the songs from the album.
There you go. Yeah. Perfectly said. So I do want to thank you all guys again for coming on the show, and I beg you all to come back anytime you want to. I'm always available for y'all. And who knows, you know, one day y'all might come to South Carolina and we can finally meet, you know, that'd be great. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
Well.
All right. Yeah. So thank you all so much for coming on again. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening to the show. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.